Good morning. Welcome to a new beginning. Glory to God. We're still in the old church filming this for the last time. We're going to start meeting at the Seventh-day Adventist Church in Port Orchard when we can start again. And instead of Wednesday nights for our midweek service, we'll be doing Tuesday evening. So we'll let you all know when that's going to happen and when we can do it safely. But I thought we'd start out in prayer today, and I just want to give a little bit of worship to the Lord, and we're just going to honor Him today, and we know His presence is here. He's been so good to us. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for today. We thank You for Your continual blessing, Your continual presence, and God, we just thank You that today is going to be no different. We love You, we worship You, we honor You, we glorify You, and Lord, we just want to honor the name of Jesus. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchased of God, filled with His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song. I'm praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, looking above, were filled with His goodness. I'm lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song. I'm praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. We worship You, Lord. We worship You. Hallelujah. I love You, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship You, O my soul. rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's been good to me. I know he's been good to you. He's worthy of our praise. I think about all the time the verse that's in Revelation about, you know, repent, going back to your first love, and just how much it means to us to have accepted Jesus as our Savior. And really, that can sound a little bit religious, but really it's when we first got to know him. It's when we first met him, when he first came into our lives and made that tremendous impact that is just so awesome. Glory to God. This morning, I'm excited to be here with you. I'm excited about the Word of God. I know that God's got a message for you. And even though we can't be together physically in this location, I know that we're connecting by Spirit, and I'm just trusting that God's going to speak to you through His Word and through the anointing that's upon it. But if you have a Bible this morning, turn to Psalm 121, Psalm 121. And I want to talk to you today about letting the Lord be your helper. The Lord is my helper. He is my help. Come on. He is my help. And sometimes it's so hard to keep him at the center point of being the one that we run to when we need help. But let's look at verse 1. It says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made the heaven and earth. Glory to God. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall never sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. The Lord shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time and for even forevermore. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is the one that I run to when I need help. And he's faithful. He's there. And this morning, I just want us to focus on and maybe even reconsider where we have the Lord in the position of who we run to first. And even not first, but continually on an ongoing basis. If you'll go with me to Isaiah 31 for a minute, it's an interesting contrast of what we're just talking about. And again, you know that the nation of Israel, the miraculous things that went through Moses, and they got delivered out of Egypt, and God provided for them in the desert. He brought them into the promised land. You know, kings, kingdoms had been subdued, and their provision was incredible. And yet, they got to the place where they didn't trust God. They didn't run to God first. And in verse 31, it says, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but who do not look at the Holy One of Israel. And it's so easy. You think, well, how could they do that? Well, I got to tell you, how can we do that? And we do that all the time. How do we do that? We say, well, Lord, I believe your word, I trust your word, but I need to, you know, add my two cents to it. I got to work for myself. Lord, I know that this is what you've said. I know that this is what your word has promised, but I've got to help that along. And we can call it many things, but sometimes it's It's we're trying to manipulate people, or we're looking to people to be our source. We're looking even for doctors to be our healers. We're looking for bankers to be our providers, or our job to be our providers. And God uses all those things, and I'm not against all of those things, but we can't run to those things. We have to run to the Lord. We have to keep the Lord in His proper place. Who is my helper? Who's my provider? In Mark chapter 11, it says, you know, Jesus was talking to him. He said, have faith in God. And then he goes on to talk about faith a little bit. But have faith in God. Have your confidence, your assurance in the one who's always been and always will be. And sometimes it's so easy for us to get distracted from that, or you know, believe that we're trusting God, but we're really looking at the arm of man or the arm of flesh to help us out. Let me just give you an example of that, how that looks. Years ago, there was a couple, and they were believing God for provision, and they said, well, let's bless God. We believe God is blessing us. We went down to the car place and look at, we qualify for this big beautiful truck, and the truck was incredible, the truck was very expensive, and we're just believing God for all of this. And the reality was is that they were looking to the arm of the people who would finance the truck. And what happened was that by the time they finished the finance of the truck, they had violated the word of God so badly that they couldn't pay for the truck. So it wasn't long before the truck went bye-bye. And so I'm not saying that it's wrong to get a loan out for a vehicle. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is have you sought God, and are you seeking God, and are you depending on God every time that you have to make a payment on that vehicle? So you can't manipulate people, you can't even manipulate things, and you can't come and circumvent the things of the Word of God and expect God to be blessed. And God wants to be right there. He wants to be so intimate with us that we run to Him all the time. I need help, I need help, I need help. And, you know, as a father, I'll just tell you that it blesses me when my kids, even they're both grown and doing awesome on their own, I love it when they say, hey, Dad, could you come help? That gives me no greater satisfaction. Why? Not that I am the be-all that God is, but it gives me satisfaction because I know that they still consider me when they're in trouble. And not only when they're in trouble, when good things are happening, they let me know. And so it's kind of like, who are we running to in our lives? Are we running to the arms of flesh? Are we running to God? Look at verse 2 of chapter 31. It says, yet he also is wise and will bring disaster. He will not call back his words, but will rise against the house of evildoers and against the help of those who work iniquity. He's talking about God, and he's talking about when you run to the world, or you run to the world system, or you try to manipulate people and you sow to that kind of trying to get your results, you're going to reap the benefits of that. You're going to reap from that, and God's not going to let that slide. For instance, sometimes, and you know, we Christians are good at this too, is that we try to manipulate people to get what we want. We're not trusting God, but we're manipulating people. This has been done more than once where somebody, you know, they're praying, but they're praying right next to somebody who they think can meet their needs, and they're saying, oh, Lord, I need this, I need this. And what they're doing really is they're praying so that the other person can hear, because they've thought, if that other person hears, then they'll supply my need. And Jesus, when he was praying, he taught us to pray. He says, you know, don't go to your neighbor and pray out loud. Pray to God in secret, and your God who is in secret will reward you openly. We don't have to manipulate people. We don't have to try to get God's help. by fleshly means. We have to get God's help by just believing He's our daddy, and He is our ever-present help in the time of need. Come on, it doesn't matter what we're going through. I mean, even, you know, I've been honest with you the whole time. This whole move thing for the church has been an interesting and hard and you know, on one hand, I'm walking around the property. We cleaned yesterday. By the way, thank you, everybody who came to clean. The place looks great. But, you know, walking around the property and looking, well, this happened here or that happened there. Or, you know, the big Easter egg hunt that we used to have, where we had over 500 kids on the property and on and on and on and on. There's just events. And I could look at, oh, and we have to leave here. But I have to come back to the place of going, God, You allowed us to be a part of something You were doing, and You use this property mightily for the kingdom of God. And thank God, it's all because of Your provision that we've even been able to be here. So if You provided for us here, come on, You're going to provide for us tomorrow. You're going to give us a place tomorrow to meet, and He has. We have a building that we're going to be able to meet in. We have an office space that we're going to go to. Glory to God. And so step by step, God is leading, and God is confirming His word. But I've got to always remember, rely on, and trust that God is my helper. So, If I don't, I can become overwhelmed. And when I'm overwhelmed, I'm going to get into the arm of flesh to try to figure something out that God has already promised to give to me. Glory to God. And I think it's important that we come back to that. Again, who are we trusting? Who are we trusting? Are we really trusting God? Let's go to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. How many know that Paul had a few troubles while he was on the earth? Let's say it that way. He had a few circumstances that weren't exactly pleasant. And yet, at the end of the day, in the midst of the struggle, in the midst of the trial, you've got to come back to the place where God is your helper. Is God your helper? Is He not? And if He is your helper, come on, He's going to help you. He's going to get you through. And again, we're human, and our thoughts go to the place of what am I going to do? How am I going to do this? How am I going to get this done? And it can lead us to anxiety. It can lead us to frustration. It can lead us to latch out at other people that are around us. It can lead us to try to manipulate people. It can lead us to so many things. But all of those things are destructive. And if we'll come back to the assurance and the knowing that God is with us, God is for us, and He is our helper. Interesting, interesting, interesting. Chapter 26 and verse 19, it says, "Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." And he just talked to the king about how he'd been called and how Jesus had met him and talked to him. But in verse 20, it says, "But declared first in Damascus and then in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do the works befitting repentance. And for these reasons the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. Therefore, having obtained help from God to this day, I stand witness to both small and great, saying no other things than those that the prophets and Moses said would come." In the midst of people wanting to kill him, in the midst of him being seized, he said, "I look to God for my help." And God is always, always, always going to be there for your help. Come on. What can man do? What can the enemy do to us if we're really convinced that God has my back, that God's going to take care of me? If you have that knowing, or if maybe you have people in your life that you know, if everybody else abandons me, I can go to this person and they'll always be there for me. I love that. But watch this. Even those people who, being evil, come on, know how to give good gifts to you, how to be your support, how much more your Heavenly Father will give good things to those who ask. I believe that God loves you. I believe He's for you. I believe He wants to be your helper. But it's time for us to come back to the assurance and the knowing that God is for me. God is with me. Come on, sometimes it can feel like God is a million miles away, but he's not. He dwells within us, the Bible says. Those are born again. The Spirit of God dwells on the inside of us. And if we'll look to the inside for our help, if we'll look to God to speak to our hearts, then come on, all of those outer things can be silenced so that we can just walk with him and walk in his ways. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, the book of Hebrews and the fourth chapter. God is so good. This is an incredible statement in Hebrews 4, and we're going to start out in verse 14. It says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession." Seeing that we have a high priest, and you know, just for time's sake, I won't go through the whole thing, but Jesus died on the cross, and he took his blood, and with his blood, he went into the Holy of Holies in heaven, and the sacrifice of his blood was accepted. And because it was accepted, we're with God and God is with us. We have a relationship with God. Our covenant with God is sealed through the blood of Jesus. And he says, let us hold fast to our confession. In other words, let come out of your mouth and let your lifestyle be such that you are living out of that covenant, that you know that God is with you, you know that you've been made right with God, you know that God loves you, you know that God is for you, you know that God is not against you, God's not the one condemning you and telling you how lousy you are and what a rotten person you are. God is for you. God wants you to know that he's for you. Now look, we've got to do things his way. He's not going to violate his word, but even when we violate his word, he's always there to pick us up. He's never the one that's got his foot on our head saying, stay down there, you're done, you're finished, I tried with you, but you're hopeless. That's not God. We've got to continue with the confession that through the blood of Jesus, my sin has been dealt with, which has allowed me to be able to be called righteous before God. Let's go on, the next verse. It says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted just as we are without sin. In other words, Jesus knows what you're going through. Jesus was hungry. Jesus, you know, had people betray him. Jesus had so many of life's disappointments happen to him, but at the same time, he kept his relationship with his Father intact. And he spoke about him. He said, God is with me. God is for me. And in fact, the Pharisees and everybody, who are you? Who gives you the authority to say that you're what you're doing? He said, listen, I don't say it on my own. I only speak of the authority that I have based on the relationship that I have with my Father. It's my Father who does the works. It's my Father who supplies. It's my Father who loves. It's my Father who protects. It's my Father who loves. Come on. And if Jesus is our example, that's true for us too. Now look at verse 16. It says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Come on. Do you have need today? Well, now's the time. What do we do when we're in need? We come boldly before the throne. Come on, read again. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Come on, what's the throne of grace? Grace is God richly lavishing on us what he wants to give to us. Not because we deserve it, but because he is gracious to give it. He doesn't have it but to do it. He doesn't have to do it, but he has the wherewithal to do it, and he wants to give it to you. So when he says, come boldly before the throne of grace, what does that mean? You don't deserve his help. You don't deserve his love. You don't deserve anything. None of us do. But the reality is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on him should not perish but have everlasting life. What does that mean? That means that when Jesus gave his life for us, then we get to take on the relationship that was born out of that, which is eternal life, that will forever and ever and ever and ever live with God. But we don't have to wait to heaven to go to the throne of grace, because in heaven we're not going to need it like we need it here. We need it here because we have times of need. We have times of trouble. We have times of struggle. We have times when we don't know how to figure things out, when it doesn't make sense. You know, and that's true for all of us. But Jesus knows what we're going through. And he said, listen, you need help? I got a place where you can go. And you can go this morning. You can go right now. But what you have to do is, once you go, you have to hold on to the fact that God has heard. And God has heard not based on what you've done or what you haven't done, but he's heard because he loves you and his grace is toward you. So I can come boldly before the throne of grace. Others might say, well, you can't go to God. You know what you've done. You know how bad you've been. You were saved and you were walking with God and you know, God was using you, but you blew it and you backslid and God might love you a little bit, but you're never going to be the same. You see, that's the reality of that is so wrong. The logic of that is so wrong, because the same God who loved you while you were even yet a sinner loves you now the same way. He loves you. In fact, he's the one in the prodigal son that said, come on, my son has come back. And he put the robe on, he put the ring on, kill the fatted calf, right? So it's not God that's saying you're less than now because of the mistake you made yesterday. God is the one who's saying, come on, my son has returned. He is home again. I am so excited. The Bible says, look at this, so incredible. And it's the only place that I know of. It says that all of heaven rejoices when one sinner is returned to God. Come on. So when you repent, when you come back to God, when you give your life to Christ, I believe that there's an anthem heard all throughout heaven that's incredible. And so we need to come with an assurance to God, even though we've made mistakes, even though we've blown it, we ask for forgiveness, and we get up and we say, God, I'm coming boldly before my throne of grace. Why? Because this is where I belong. See, God loves you. God wants you to know that you're his son, you're his daughter, and that he wants you to communicate with him, and he wants to communicate with you. That's so good. See, you got to have the same faith as a little child, Jesus said, you know. And how does that work? Well, I'll just give you this example because it's precious to me. Both of my children and many other children, when they were 2, 3, 4 years old, they grew up in the church. They grew up with me preaching. So if it was, you know, Sunday morning and they're running out of the nursery and coming up here and I'm still preaching up in the front, many times they'd run past everybody else and run to me. Now, I didn't say, get them out of here, I'm still preaching. What I'd do is I'd grab them, I'd lift them up, and I'd continue with what I'm saying. Why? Because they belong in my heart more than what I'm doing around here. What I'm doing has no greater impact than the heart that I have for my children. See, and God's that same way with you. You're not bothering God. You're not trouble to him. You're not being an inconvenience to him. You can come boldly before the throne of grace. And he is your helper. He is the one that you can run to. He is the one that you can trust. Come on. Right now, come on, Lord, I just thank you. I praise you. I worship you, Lord, that you've never let me down. You've never turned me away. Lord, even if I don't feel it, you're working. Even if I don't see it, you're working. You are the way maker. You're the one that I'm running to. You're the God that I just believe is my total and complete helper in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Go back to the book of Psalms. We're going to read a few psalms here. Psalm 33, the 33rd psalm. You just got to know that God's for you. You just got to know that all of us make mistakes. You know, here's a big fallacy that I think happens with people, and you don't have to look much further than in your adolescence, when you were going through your adolescence and you looked at all the other people of the school who you thought had it all together. They didn't, right? They didn't. They were just as much a mess up, a screw up, just as confused as you were. But yet you put them in a position that was not real. And so all of us are in the same boat. All of us have the same need to come to God just as we are and know that he loves us, know that he accepts us, and know that he's for us and he will accept us. He wants us. Come on. You ever thought about that? God wants me. God wants me. God values me. God values you. You know, I've used this many times, but I think it bears repeating right here. You know that the value of something is the price somebody is willing to pay for it? Many people have said, well, man, I've got this antique and it's very valuable. And so they put it on Craigslist, they put it somewhere else, and nobody calls. Why don't they call? Because they don't value it at the price that you put on it. If they valued it, they'd call. So how do we measure our value? God sent his own son to pay the price for you. What does that mean? That your salvation and your coming to God and God being able to have a relationship with you was so valuable that he paid the highest price. Whew, glory to God. Glory to God. Psalm 33, verse 19. No, excuse me, verse 17. It says, a horse is vain in hope of safety, neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, and on whose hope is his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them from famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us as we hope in you. Come on, come on. Listen, if you're in a place where you don't sense God's presence, you don't feel like he's helping you, you by faith have got to get to the place where you go, I know that he is. Whether I feel it, whether I see it, it doesn't matter my circumstances. I know that God is with me. Come on. And so what do? It says, my soul waits for the Lord. What does that mean? That I'm in his presence. It's not like I'm going, okay, Lord, it's 2 o'clock. You haven't answered yet. That's not waiting on the Lord. What waiting on the Lord is saying, Lord, I worship you. I praise you. Come on, do it right now. I honor you. I love you. Come on. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And in the midst of your need, in the midst of your struggle, reach out to him and talk to him like he's really listening to you. Come on, my soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in him. When's the last time you vocalized rejoicing in God and letting your heart just come out? Did you know that your recreated spirit has joy in it, unspeakable, full of glory? but we've got to let that bubble out of us. And sometimes it starts out with clenched teeth because we're struggling, we're going through a hard time. But if we really trust that the Lord is our helper, joy should come out of our hearts. And that's what rejoice is. Rejoicing is nothing more than joy released. And if we release the joy that's within us, even if we have to do it by faith, it won't be long before we'll sense His presence and know that He's with us. He's on the case. He'll get it done. It says, "For our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name." Glory to God. "Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you." And the word hope here is not, well, we wish something would happen, but I have an expectation that God is my helper. I just expect God to show up and do something. I'm not going to try to figure it out. And even if it doesn't happen exactly the way I think it should or the time that I think it should, I'm going to trust that He is with me. He's for me. He's my helper. He's my joy. He's my love. Come on. Look at the next verse in Psalm 34 and verse 1. It says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." You see, if you want to keep God as your helper and you don't want to be relying on the arm of flesh and the arm of men and you want His joy to be with you, we've got to get back to be blessing the Lord at all times and His praise continually in my mouth. You know, years ago when I first got saved, and it was right at the tail end of the Jesus movement. I mean, if you were around Christian, it was praise the Lord this and bless the Lord that and hallelujah and glory to God. All of those phrases were continually being used. And some of us got to the place where, well, man, they just sound religious. They just sound, that's too Christianese. Well, brother, if that's too Christianese for you, you're not going to like being around me. Because I'm going to say praise the Lord all the time. I'm going to say thank you, Jesus, all the time. I'm going to give God the glory because He deserves it. He's my helper. He's my friend. He's the one who saved me. He's the one who loves me. And I can rejoice in Him. "My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." Look at that. That's so good. "My soul shall make its boast in the Lord." Come on, what does that mean? That you're getting your mind wrapped around what's happened in your heart, and I'm thanking God. God's never let me down. God will never desert me. God knew that the coronavirus was going to happen. God knew that I'd have a payment here. God knew that this church was going to be sold. God knew that whatever, but God is still with me. God is still on the throne. God is still my Savior. God is still my friend. God is still saying to me, "Come to my throne of grace. I will give you help in the time of need." But I got to ask you again, who is your help? Who is your source? Who are you looking to? Because if you're looking to your wife or your husband or your kids or your friends to fulfill a need that's on the inside of you, you're going to be disappointed because none of them can fill the vacuum that is only filled with the presence of God. Come on, all of humanity has a vacuum on the inside of them that was ripped out of them when Adam fell and sin entered into the heart of man. But Jesus made the way where that vacuum could be filled up. But sometimes as Christians, we put a seal on that and we don't look to the God who loves us and the God who wants us and the God who is after us and the God who is there to help us. And what a tragedy that is. And I want you to open that back up this morning and just say, "I will rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to brag on the Lord." Soul, listen, get in line. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." He's my helper. He's my king. He's my savior. And I'm going to spend eternity with Him. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Death, where is thy sting? You know, a lot of what we're doing today, even within this the COVID-19 situation, is the whole reaction was the fear of the death that this could produce. And I'm not saying that any death is good, but I'm telling you the only tragic death is the person who doesn't know Jesus as their Savior. Because there's no tragedy in death for a Christian. Why? Because to be absent from the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. And when you're in His presence, man, you ain't going to want to come back here. But you can have His presence here if you'll keep your mind stayed on Him. Right? He's with you. He's your helper. He's your lover. He's your friend. Hallelujah. Go to Psalm 124. I don't know about you, but I'm preaching me happy. Glory to God. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalm 124. If I get these pages unstuck, we'll get there. Psalm 124, verse 7. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. You know, I was once bound by sin. I was bound by several things. But the one who saved me is my Redeemer. His name is Jesus. And He redeemed me from the curse of the law. He redeemed me from being bound by Satan. He redeemed me from all of those things. So I no longer have to be bound by anything, because while my helper has arrived, my helper has come, my helper established the covenant that I can be with God and God is with me. Come on, I'm not in anybody's snare anymore. Jesus said, He who the Son has set free is free indeed. So I refuse to be in bondage. Why? Because God is my helper. Hallelujah. God is my helper. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Glory to God. El Shaddai, He's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals me. He's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides for me. He's Jehovah Shalom, the Lord my peace. Come on. He's everything to me. Hallelujah. He's my righteousness. Hallelujah. Go back to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. Hallelujah. And we'll close with this. See, you have to believe this. And again, if I can encourage you this morning to begin to put in your thoughts the things that I'm telling you this morning, and replace those thoughts that are depressing. Replace those thoughts that you're all alone. Replace those thoughts that say you'll never make it. Replace those thoughts that you'll never get through this. Replace those thoughts of what's going to happen. Replace them with these words and begin to speak them over yourself until you really completely believe what I'm saying this morning, because I'm telling you, God is in your midst. God is your helper. God is for you. Verse 1 says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Oh, glory to God. Think about that just a minute. He is our refuge and our strength. What's a refuge? That's where you run to when trouble's around. That's where you run to. It's like I used to watch Westerns as a kid and still do. Renita's sick of them, by the way. But I still do. And you know, the settlers would be coming across in the covered wagons, and you'd have the Indians chasing them, and they'd be trying to make the fort. And the gates would open up, and they'd come in the fort, and the enemy, the ones who were pursuing, were on the outside, right? Glory to God. Listen, we need to be in the fort of the comfort of His arm. He is our refuge. Come on. He is our refuge, a very present help in the time of trouble. Help is no good if it's not there. Right? People can say, well, yeah, man, I'll be there to help. Well, where are you? Well, you know, I had a flat tire. I wasn't feeling good this morning. Well, that's not help. Help needs to be there when you need it. God is there. God is here. God is for you. God is with you. God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. He is a very present help in the time of trouble. Oh, hallelujah. Even though the earth, excuse me, verse 2, therefore we will not fear. You got to tell yourself that. Fear, I'm going to have no place in you, and you're going to have no place in me. Because in the midst of feeling like you're abandoned and outside of help, you have to tell yourself, no, God is with me. And you have to say, therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, even though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its water roar and trouble, and even though the mountains shake with its swelling. Come on. See, look at this. It doesn't really matter to those whose hearts are assured that God is with them what's happening on the outside. Because again, people are going to let you down. I mean, people are going to let you down. Things are going to happen. Economies are going to crash. Earthquakes are going to happen. Floods are going to happen. Pandemics are going to happen. But we've got to stay focused on who our helper is and understand that he is with us and he is for us. And verse 4 says, there's a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God. There's a river. There's a river. Come on. That river is the flow of the Spirit of God on the inside of you, the flow of God's grace being poured out to you, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. Now listen, this in the Psalms, they were talking about the temple of God, but really what that represented was is that's where the presence of God was. Did you know in the New Testament, it talks about that we are now the temple of the Most High? What does that mean? That the presence, the glory of God resides on the inside of those who have made Jesus the Lord of their lives. I don't have to go to Jerusalem. I don't have to go to Tulsa. I don't have to go to wherever the next revival is happening. I don't mind going to any of those places. Can't wait to go to Jerusalem. Haven't been there? That's on my bucket list, right? I want to go. It doesn't matter because the Spirit of God is living on the inside of me. Whew. Verse 7 says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. Who has made desolations in the earth. He makes war to cease at the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come on, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to live in fear. You definitely don't have to be in terror because God is for you. God is with you. Right now, make God your helper. Put him in that place of your need. Put him in the place where you need him to be. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life this morning, that's the first place to start. And you say, well, you know, but I'm not a good person. I need to quit doing this, or I need to quit doing that, or I need to quit. No, look, at you can't quit enough to be good enough. You can't do enough to get good enough. Because the Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Our ability to be right with God is equated to filthy rags. We can't do it. That's why we need a Savior. That's why Jesus came. That's why he took our place on the cross. So what we have to do is we have to believe that, and we have to come to a heartfelt conviction that I need God. I want God. And God, I'm coming to you just as I am, and I'm asking you to forgive me of my sin, but also, Lord, I need the blood of Jesus to purify my heart so that I can have a relationship with you. In Romans chapter 10, it says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that you shall be saved. And what does that mean? That means that your sins will no longer be accounted to you, but you'll be able to live with God forever, and you can make him your helper. So today, if you need to be saved, just ask God to come and ask him to forgive you. Ask Jesus to be Lord of your life. And the instant that you do that, all of heaven will be rejoicing because one son or one daughter has come home. Let me pray for you right now. Let me pray for those that are hurting, those that are suffering, those that have needs emotionally, physically, financially. God is your helper. And I believe that you'll act on what he said this morning. You're going to see his deliverance come soon and very soon. So let me pray. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, that your word is true. Lord, you're our helper. And I personally want to ask you to forgive me when I've let worry and frustration of outer circumstances keep my heart from trusting you. So today, Lord, we just declare that we trust you, we honor you, we worship you. And Lord, I ask you right now in the name of Jesus to touch the people who are listening. Lord, I just thank you for your peace coming upon them, your peace surrounding them. I thank you for healing people in their bodies. I thank you for providing for their finances, Lord. I thank you for relationships being restored. And Lord, we just give you all the glory and all the praise because we love you and we're rejoicing in you because you are our helper and you're always present when we have a need. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. God bless you. We'll be with you again on Wednesday night. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.